Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 10:52 a.m. that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is February 13th. And I'm recording a little bit earlier today because I'm going to be running to the airport. I'm heading off to Dubai to participate in a private seminar there for the balance of the week. So my access to email and my updates on the site might be a bit more sporadic than normal. But I thought that today I would kick off with the H-share index in China or in Hong Kong because it has cleared the 10,000 level. It's another index that had been flirting with this psychological big round of phobia 10,000 level and has now broken through it. It is now confirming that it is rallying from the lower side of what has been a more than 6 year range, and a clear downward dynamic would be required to question potential for additional upside at this stage. The A-share index also continues to range higher. It's been doing so in a reasonably consistent manner for more than a year, but the advance has been reasonably modest, and not least compared to the accelerated advance that we saw in 2014 and early 2015. This is a very different environment. The Chinese do not want to have another bubble, and when you start listing the bubbles that they have created, it's like their domestic stock market, their domestic bond market, the luxury goods market, the commodities market, Bitcoin. Property prices in places like Vancouver and Sydney, then we can say with some degree of confidence that it is a market that is prone to bubbles, and it is really a question of where is the next bubble going to be. I have an idea about what that might be, and it's something that might be somewhat contrarian because you get such negative news flow about the way that the Chinese view the Japanese and how the Japanese view the Chinese, and yet Japan has become one of the hottest destinations for Chinese tourists over the last year, and the TOPIX real estate index is bouncing from the region of the trend mean. When we look at the TOPIX from the long term, it has been ranging below that 1700 or 1800 point level since the early 1990s, and I think when we look at that on a logarithmic scale, then we get a really clear idea of just how inert that market has been for a very, very long time. It hasn't really been capable of rallying on a sustained basis. It has been able to put in these medium-term bull markets that last for a year or two, and then you get a collapse and you get a fresh low. This is the first time in decades that the Japanese market has been able to sustain a rally, has been able to hold on to the majority of that advance, and it is now pushing back up towards the upper side of this very, very long range. So I think Japan is becoming progressively more interesting. And there is the question that is at least confirming short-term resistance in the region of this very inert range that has been ongoing now for the last 10 weeks. That is despite the fact that Saudi Arabia said today that they have cut supply by the most in almost a decade, and but that's largely beside the point because as prices move back up towards that psychological $60 level, onshore supply in the US, not least from unconventional sources, is trending higher, and that is stepping into the vacuum created by the reduction in Saudi Arabian supply. That would suggest that if they really want to have an impact on the market, they're going to have to cut even more. They're going to have to cut more than the unconventional suppliers in the US are capable of raising their supply. And that is going to represent a pretty significant move for OPEC, considering how much horse trading they had to go through to just get the most recent cut pushed through. And the hard fact is that $55 is not enough money to justify the rather extravagant social programs that a number of OPEC countries have. So it is going to be difficult. So far, this is still a rangy environment, but we do know that a range is an explosion waiting to happen, and a clear break in either direction is likely to resolve this trading range. But we also know that there is ample supply at higher levels, and something that we could also, and rather than looking at the sector of the oil market that is doing best, maybe we should look at the sector that is doing worst. The offshore drillers are still very depressed, but the higher prices go, the greater the potential is that their particular business model will do well, and also that they have been under the cosh of regulation since the Macondo accident in the Gulf of Mexico. So then, if we do get deregulation, then that would also represent a bullish catalyst for the offshore sector. The higher prices go, the greater their ability to bring new supply online. There is no shortage of supply. That really gives the lie to the peak oil argument, that oil is not a question of how much of it is there, it is only a question of how much of it is there at what price. And the price and the amount of supply available at higher prices has increased substantially following what has been a decade-long process of investing in additional supply. So we could be in for a lengthy ranging phase in the oil price. Now, gold prices were a little bit weaker today, but not in a dynamic fashion. This continues to look like a consolidation in the region of the trend mean. And we can see today again that oil, that gold prices were able to bounce off of their intraday low. So we haven't seen gold prices string together a succession of downward dynamics, similar to previous peaks within this consolidation. And that is a very important characteristic overall. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.